This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Friday afternoon, September 27th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart, the founder of a Chicago law firm using his success to make a difference in the community. We'll talk to him in our next segment. But right now, inflation edged closer to the Federal Reserve's 2% target last month, boosting hopes for more interest rate cuts heading into the end of the year. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Diane Swank, Chief Economist, KPMG in Chicago. Diane, thank you for joining us today. The Fed's preferred inflation gauge, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Report, now at 2.2% in the last month. And for all intents and purposes, Diane, have we achieved the soft landing? Did we get to 2% inflation without cratering the economy?
Well, we're close. That's the good news. The core inflation rate is still running about 2.7%, and the Fed is now confident that that will continue to improve, especially as we turn the corner on 2025. We had a lot of improvement in inflation last year, which makes the year over year a little hard to see the movement we'd like in them. But once we hit January, that changes sort of go out of the data, and we actually get very good data. So we're getting very close. Whether or not the Fed cuts by a quarter point in November or a half percent is really going to be contingent on how strong employment comes in for the month of September and October. And I think that's very important. We're going to get those two reports before the next meeting, which concludes the Thursday after the election. And the Fed will at that point in time, move a quarter point, we think at least. It will be a half point if that employment number looks a little weaker. That's the tricky part. But the bottom line is the economy looks like it continued to be robust over the summer, as it was in the spring, growing about 3.1% or so, according to the preliminary data on GDP. That is the very different definition of a soft landing when you're seeing consumers spend more in response to discounting.
What were some of the highlights in this report for you? Because I think one of the real frustrating elements of the not only just the PCE report, but the Consumer Price Index has been shelter costs. And it seems like that you're finally seeing some easing in that particular category.
We are seeing some easing from where it was, although it's still stickier than we'd like. It's a lagging indicator because as people sort of on rents renew their leases, that actually takes some time to show up in cooler shelter costs, and they have rolled over. They're not going up like they once were. That's the good news. But we also know that hotel room rates, which are separate in the PCE index from shelter costs but are not in the CPI, they actually picked up during the month. They did in both the CPI and the PCE index. What's important is that we're seeing many more broad-based declines in actual goods prices in these numbers. In the month of August, we had the largest year-on-year decline of big-ticket items from a year ago that we've seen since December 2003, and that was at the very beginning of when we were seeing an influx of cheap goods, most notably from China. And I think that's very important, is that we're finally seeing some actual declines in prices helping to offset inflation elsewhere in the economy. And overall, that's bringing down the overall inflation indices. And those are things that we welcome with open arms.
Diane Swank, Chief Economist, KPMG in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, using success in the legal profession to help provide better lives for kids.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The founder of a Chicago law firm is giving back, and he's using his experience and success to equip kids in marginalized communities with the skills and tools they need to navigate challenges and achieve success in their daily lives and beyond. We welcome in Brian Thomas, founder and lawyer of Thomas Law in Chicago, author of the book, The Privilege Race, A Guide to Overcoming Negative Voices and Influences. Brian, thank you for joining us once again. And we talked to you not too long ago on the Noon Business Hour, and now you have pivoted to paying it forward, saying that your story can be replicated, that you can do it too.
100%. Rob, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here. And as you mentioned, I'm a lawyer, and You know, last time I was with you, I mentioned that I grew up in Elmhurst, right? And the great thing about growing up in Elmhurst is that I had a super highway of opportunity to get me from elementary school through law school, right? Unfortunately, in many communities in our area, rather than super highways, we have dense forests, right? And that's where mentorship and that's where organizations come in, because what we do is we take out our machetes and clear a path and clear a way for kids who are really hungry to get not only through high school, but then get to college and beyond.
And I think, you know, the mentorship is such a powerful thing, Brian, because I think we all have stories in our lives, whatever we've done, whatever our career path may take us, or skills we may develop over the course of our lives. We always have memories of that one person, whether it's a parent or a relative or a friend or a teacher, who provided that inspiration that kept you going. And if you were a mentor to someone, you literally could make the difference in someone's life.
Well, and it's reciprocal though too, and that's the thing that we sometimes fail to note until you get involved. I mean, I have had opportunity to meet kids and see them not only get into college but then excel in college, and then they'll come to my office and they'll intern in my office. And these kids are now juniors in college, right? And they'll come and intern. And I mean, I can tell you that the children and the young people that I've worked with have really had more of an impact on me, I think, than the impact that I've had on them. Their enthusiasm and hunger to succeed. I mean, I can tell you that most of these kids, when you become a mentor to someone, you will be with them for the rest of your life. And you will, you know, you will probably even want to hire them.
This brings together a lot of different topics we have been touching on the program in the last couple of weeks, and that is things that you can do as a parent or as a caregiver that may seem costly, whether in time or money, but are in fact an investment in somebody else's development. And we're talking about sports and extracurricular activities as that investment in your child's life or the life of someone very important to you. And Base Chicago uses some of these precepts, because it's not only just academics, it's sports, it's extracurricular activities, and using all of that as foundations for success.
I've been very fortunate to get to know people at the Base Chicago and then Towers of Excellence. And both of these organizations serve children on the west side of Chicago in between fifth grade and 12th. And the programming that they provide, it includes going to sporting events, includes team sports, but then also, you know, they fill this hole of tutoring, ACT prep. ACT prep is so important because, unfortunately, for a lot of these families, they're dealing with incomes of under $30,000 a year. And when you have that, you don't have the resources that a lot of other families do, getting an ACT prep course is not on the table. And that's where the Base Chicago, that's where Towers of Excellence and then other mentors step in and provide resources so that these kids can get that ACT prep, can get financial literacy training, can go to museums, and can go on college tours and know that college is not only available to them, but that they can succeed and excel in college.
He's paying it forward, Brian Thomas, founder and lawyer, Thomas Law in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, ways for grandparents to help their grandchildren financially. It's
an economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Grandparents looking to help their grandchildren financially while they're still alive and can see the fruits of their investment can follow several important steps for smart and effective giving. Let's get some advice from Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, the author of the book, The Prescription for a Healthy Retirement. Chris, thank you for joining us today. And the operative word, it sounds like, is investment. If you want to provide a financial gift to a grandchild, start off by doing something that can allow them to grow in life over the long run. And I would imagine, Chris, the first on the list when you have clients talking to you about providing a financial gift to their grandchildren is they pay for education.
Yeah, perhaps. But I think the first step is actually, can they even afford to do it? So
I highly recommend working with a fiduciary who can give you honest feedback about whether or not you can afford it. I think the other thing that's really important, too, before you start doling out money, is what do the parents think about it? Let me give you an example. Years now, this has changed in the last year, but prior to that, this year, if grandparents were funding 529 plans and the parents themselves were middle-income people and they were counting on financial aid for college, we would discourage grandparents from funding a 529 because when they extracted money from the 529 to give it to their grandchild, it came out as income, and it usually ended up blowing up the cost of college for the parents. So at least that's off the table now and changed. So perhaps fund a 529 plan.
So it sounds like they should probably give you or someone like you a call because you could be running into some, your good intentions could then run into the brick wall of the IRS and create some major tax headaches instead of solving a problem or being generous and kind.
You know, possibly tax, possibly more cost for college and whatnot. But I think, you know, there's a great tool that usually doesn't get you in trouble, assuming parents agree. Maybe fund a Roth IRA for the child if they're generating some income. It starts that five-year clock ticking. So let's say the grandchild, well, obviously they can fund $7,000 this year. So if they make $3,000, let's say they make $3,500 over the summer, grandparent can say, hey, if you save that $3,500, I'll put in the other $3,500. Or maybe you do it on a paycheck by paycheck basis. That gets that five-year clock ticking. Now the money's growing on a tax-free basis. You know, if they needed to get access to the money, there's a little sidecar rule that says you actually can pull out your contributions without a penalty. So that's a great idea. I think, too, again, coordinate with the parents, but you can actually gift $18,000 to that little kiddo or bigger kiddo, grandkid, depending upon who you're talking to. So for the best result, first consult. I had a student come see me because their parents said they were concerned about him not understanding money. So we sat down and I said, well, hey, how much do you think you need to live on after you graduate college? He said, $30,000. I said, great, let's test it. Are you open? Yeah, I'll test it. Well, I pulled up my little cheat sheet and we started plugging all these expenses in. And he goes, holy cow, I had no idea that $30,000 wasn't going to do it for me. He goes, I need like $65,000 a year just to kind of be okay. So there's so much that these kids don't know about money. So yes, for the best result, first consult, get some counsel because you don't know what you don't know.
Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president, Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park. Thank you for joining us today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Israel launches airstrikes reportedly targeting Hezbollah leaders in Lebanon. The latest coming up at a CBS News special report. The head of Chicago Public Schools discusses reports of planned school closures. It's Entrepreneur Friday. A suburban teenager is taking his YouTube presence to a new level. Also on the entrepreneurial front, helping military veterans open businesses. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed right now. The Dow is up 189 points, NASDAQ down 69, the S&P 500 is down 6. AccuWeather says for the afternoon, windy with clouds limiting sunshine, a high today of 75, going down to 65 tonight with a possibility of a shower, 71 right now at O'Hare, 72 at Midway. It's 12:31.
CBS News special report. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has just cut short his visit to the U.S. after Israel launched a massive attack in Beirut. It was aiming for Hezbollah leadership. MTS Tayyip has more.
There were several loud explosions. We've seen some of the images, and they're extraordinary, where you just see this black plume of smoke over, again, this densely populated area.
Netanyahu had earlier addressed the U.N. General Assembly in New York. His appearance leading to a walkout by some delegates.
Ladies and gentlemen, order. Order. order, please.
Netanyahu insisted Israel's campaign against Hezbollah will continue. The strike in Beirut came just an hour after the funeral for another top Hezbollah commander. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
It's 12:32. The Chicago Board of Education met last evening with the possibility of closing schools top of mind. This is CPS CEO Pedro Martinez.
I'd now like to address an unfortunate misinformation campaign that CPS is planning to close schools. There is simply no truth to this. I absolutely have no plans to recommend closing schools or consolidating any CPS schools.
The board unanimously passed a resolution put forward by Martinez saying it will not close any schools until at least 2027. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed. Joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Victoria Fernandez, Chief Market Strategist with Crossmark Global Investments in Houston, Texas. Victoria, thank you for joining us today. And the PCE report is in. 2.2% is the reading on inflation in the month of August. Does this mean that the fight against inflation is over, that the Fed has achieved the 2% target without cratering the economy?
Well, I think there's two different answers to that question, Rob. I think when we say, is the fight over for inflation? No, I don't think the fight is over, but we are on a good path for right now. My concern is that there are a lot of elements that have been helping bring down inflation, and I'm not sure that those are going to continue. So there is a chance that we see some of the inflation components start to move a little bit higher. If you look at the core PCE number this morning, the year over year, it actually ticked up a little bit to 2.7%. So I think, yes, there are some things. Goods prices are coming down. That's very helpful to consumers. But we're seeing some of the service components, hotels, motels, moved quite a bit higher. Clothing actually is one of the goods components that moved higher. And we have to remember, China has really been helping with the disinflation in the U.S., kind of dumping goods at really cheap prices. And now that's starting to stop as their economy might recover with some stimulus. So, yes, it's a good trajectory for now, but I don't think we can say it is completely done.
Is that the reason why some of the exuberance about the possibility of a half a point rate cut at the November meeting, is that the reason why that exuberance came out of the markets as the trading day wore on?
Part of it. I was actually a little surprised that we got a 50% cut at the last meeting, a 50 basis point cut. I was expecting 25, but I do think that's part of the reason. We don't want to kind of stoke those flames of inflation. I think the Fed wants to be very cautious about that. And we got revisions to our GDP number, and growth is actually higher than what a lot of people thought. So there may not be a need for another 50 basis point cut at the next meeting. I think that's probably why you saw some of the repricing.
What are some of the risks that the economy is facing right now? You talked about the possibility that inflation could flare up a little bit once again, just because of some price pressures in certain sectors and the potential for price pressures in others. When we're assessing the risk to the employment market, the fact that GDP was revised up, does that mean that hiring concerns may fade into the background?
I definitely think it adds to that belief. I mean, obviously, it reduces the need of a lot of corporations to kind of manage those labor costs that they thought were going to be coming through. It lowers the odds of more layoffs coming, at least in the near term. And those are some of the concerns that we really had about the economy. But I still think the labor market has some cracks there that we just need to be watching, right? Hiring is down tremendously. Temporary work is down tremendously. We've seen the difference between people saying jobs are hard to get and jobs are easy to get. That has declined quite a bit, where people are saying it's much harder. So I do think there's still some elements in the labor market that need to be addressed, but a revised GDP probably means not as many layoffs as we were expecting.
Victoria Fernandez, Chief Market Strategist, Crossmark Global Investments in Houston. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, we meet a suburban teenager who's turning his YouTube channel into a business.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Today, we check back in with YouTube influencer Brick Thunder, who has taken his passion for animatronic Halloween decorations and turned it into a thriving business. We welcome in Miles McCabe. You know him as Brick Thunder on social media. You can find him on his YouTube channel, at Brick Thunder. But he lives in West Chicago, and right now he's on your radio. Brian, thank you for joining Miles, I should say, thank you for joining us today. And when we talk about you review Halloween animatronic products, and how did you go about doing this? Where was your moment of inspiration?
Yeah, well, it started about 8 or 10 years ago when I got my first one. It was a 5-foot witch, and I loved to see how it worked. I was always interested in just how the animatronics worked, because as a really small child, I was actually pretty afraid of them. So seeing that side of it got me really into building them and doing videos on that.
And I think that's really important, is if you see it's an illusion, whether it's Halloween animatronics or maybe movie special effects. And I know there have been times when I'm watching a movie with my own kids and it gets pretty intense. I will find a YouTube video from behind the scenes where they show, well, this is not really a scary thing. This is a model, or it's a puppet, or it's an illusion. It's like a craft project that you do on a grand scale, and then they become very interested in it. And I think, Miles, for you, this has got to be, it was a great time to get into it, because Halloween decorations almost rival Christmas now for as large and elaborate and technically complex, as technically complex decorations.
For sure. And stores are starting to put out stuff months and months before Halloween, so it's pretty awesome to see.
And what are how has the game changed, though, over time? Because just as a layman, Miles, you know, go to Home Depot and you see the 12-foot skeleton, the 25-foot skeleton, or giant Halloween lawn displays where they light up, where they make noise. How has it changed over time?
Even over the last few years, it's changed so much. The technology and the animatronics has gotten way, way better. And I think some of those retail store companies are kind of taking after some of the more professional ones that big Halloween conventions, those type of companies go to. So I think that's pretty cool to see. We're seeing stuff like advanced motors, some more air-powered stuff in these stores. And that's really, really impressive and really awesome that we're actually getting there.
Also, you know, you're 18 and you're having an impressive credibility in this space. How do you make sure that you maintain your integrity, that when you are reviewing something or unboxing something, that this is your opinion and you are utilizing your knowledge of the technology and of the field to give an informed opinion? Because I would imagine a lot of manufacturers want to win you over.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely part of it. But I always make sure never to open the box before. I want all my reactions on camera, and that helps a lot, because I'm always it's always my opinions in all the videos. I'm always honest. But there's definitely some companies that I personally favor, but I still try to get to all of them, try to show a bit of everything, and everyone does some impressive stuff.
And then how much work goes into your YouTube channel? Because we've talked to other people who have YouTube channels or a social media presence, and it's very labor intensive. If you think I'm just going to become an influencer and that's going to be a 9-to-5 job, a lot of people who actually do it and are successful say, no, this takes up a lot of your time.
It does. It takes up a ton of time. And I've had to kind of build a team around that. Especially recently, we've been doing kind of a documentary series on building up this entire haunted house. So we've had to get some more people working on it, people editing and stuff like that. But we've been trying to make the quality much better. And that's the main thing that's helped, having more people on it.
And then very quickly, let's talk about this haunted house. You won $50,000 on this ABC Halloween Fright Fight last year. So you have all of this knowledge. You know what's good. You know the best practices. So what are you going to do in the haunted house?
Well, yes, we got this amazing space. It's 15,000 square feet, and it's across two floors, which is pretty rare for haunted houses. So that was awesome to see. It's a super unique building. So we put that money from the Fright Fight into this, and we've built out definitely our favorite haunt that we've ever done. There's a ton of animatronics, ton of actors, some amazing scenes that we've done, so we're super excited to show people.
Miles McCabe, Halloween influencer. You know him as Brick Thunder on social media. Check out his YouTube channel. He's based in West Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Still to come on Entrepreneur Friday, helping military veterans open their own business.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Entrepreneur Friday rolls on. The Penn Fed Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to helping service members, veterans, and their communities achieve financial stability and opportunity, is also assisting veteran entrepreneurs in launching new businesses. Let's learn more from Andrea McCarron, president of the Penn Fed Foundation based in Washington. Andrea, thank you for joining us today. And you are used to be a sister in broadcasting. You used to work in the business.
I certainly was, and you have become a legend in the entrepreneur space, and I am so grateful for your service, whether you served in uniform or not, Rob. Thank you for having me.
Well, you flatter us today, and thank you for what you're doing, too, because I think for anybody, whether you have served in the military or not, that decision to become an entrepreneur and go into business for yourself is a very daunting one, and if you are a military veteran, you probably bring a formidable set of skills to the table.
100%. Of course, veterans make fantastic entrepreneurs. They are resilient, they're tenacious, they have an unparalleled work ethic. You know, they're agile, they're used to changing environments, so they know they can shift gears very quickly. And the Penn Fed Foundation is deeply committed to the veterans of Chicago. In fact, we actually get funding for our very unique veteran entrepreneur program by the Pritzker Military Foundation.
You bring up a very good point, and that is if you've done basic training at Fort Benning, then chances are you can go into business for yourself, but it's just making sure you know where to go and what resources are available to you, and also what benefits could be available to you as a veteran.
Absolutely, and you would probably know that fewer than 1% of Americans serve in the military. So supporting veteran-led businesses, veteran-created businesses, is a wonderful way for the rest of us to give back. We also have an incredible partnership with baseball legend Tony La Russa. The White Sox may not be having their best season, but
That's an understatement, Andrea.
I know. I'm trying to be diplomatic, Rob, okay? Impartial journalist here. Anyway, but, you know, people know him as this baseball icon, but he is an extreme supporter of our veteran entrepreneurs. And furthermore, some of our greatest, most successful graduates came from the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business. So we love Chicago.
And then what are some examples of veterans going into business for themselves and then kind of utilizing some of the resources or knowledge that the Penn Fed Foundation gives to them?
Yeah, for starters, we select the nation's best and brightest veterans who have founded businesses. And a great example is Matt Shea of Canopy Aerospace, got his MBA at UChicago. He was an Air Force captain, a B-52 weapons officer, and he has completely disrupted the aerospace manufacturing industry by transforming materials that are used using a 3D printing process. And I know I just completely simplified that, but we take veteran entrepreneurs from a variety of industries, and it's so exciting. We just welcomed a new cohort this week. They come from all over the country, and what we do is we mentor them, we connect them to potential investors, and Canopy Aerospace now has multi-million-dollar investment because of getting a start through an innovative accelerator program directed to veteran entrepreneurs.
And we look forward to telling their stories. Andrea McCarron, President, Penn Fed Foundation in Washington. Thank you for joining us.